The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1137. It's the 7th of August, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Richard Prickett, Finance Director at Landor Resources. LND is the ticker there, and Richard discusses the mineral resource estimate update on the BAM gold deposit on his Junior Lake property in Ontario, Canada. Plus, I also have Alan Green, CEO of Brandon Communications, talking about the following stocks: Bacanora Minerals, that's BCN, Salt Lake Potash, SO4, and Great Portland Estates, GPOR. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
Want to know which companies are about to list on the London Stock Exchange? To see an up-to-date list of all the new and upcoming London IPOs, please visit voxmarkets.co.uk/IPO-watch.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Richard Prickett, Finance Director at Landor Resources. LND is the ticker there. Richard, thanks for joining me.
Morning, Justin. Thanks very much for having me on.
Yes, and you've got some significant news out, a mineral resource estimate update there at the BAM Gold deposit. Now, we'll go into the details of that in a bit. Before we do, Richard, for people listening or new to the podcast or maybe not familiar with the company, can you summarise what is Landor Resources all about, please?
Yeah, Landor is an AIM-listed mineral exploration company. We have all our activities focused in eastern Canada, and our primary project is the Junior Lake project, and we are drilling at the moment on the BAM gold deposit. That's our main focus, and the resource estimate today is all about that, so I'm happy to tell you about that.
Yes, well, take us through it, because there's some highlights there. It says you're pleased to provide this update. Now, I suppose you are quite pleased here, aren't you?
Yeah, no, this is really good news. We discovered this gold deposit in 2015-16. We were awarded the discovery of the year in 2016 when we came out with our first resource of 300,000 ounces. We've been drilling since then. And last year, we brought out a resource estimate of 400,000 ounces, which was more of a sort of desktop survey of what we have done at that stage. We have recently engaged Cube Consulting from Perth, who are mining engineers and resource technical people. And they've visited the site for over a week with other geologists and technical consultants, and they are looking at doing mining and economic studies for us going forward. Now, based on purely the work we had done up to the end of last year, they've remodeled the whole resource. They've come up with, in today's release, a very significant uplift, giving us now 623,000 ounces of gold, which is a wonderful basis for going forward. In addition, they have looked at the area that we're drilling in, and they've given a potential model of a further 680-odd thousand ounces in what they call the unclassified material. But that is the area that we're drilling on at the moment. And, you know, we feel very much that this will help us get to our target million ounces or more.
Yeah, so I see. So that's your target, is it?
Well, our target is more than that, but, you know, at the moment, we've now got a basis of 623,000 ounces. We're doing 12,000 metres of drilling at the moment. We're about halfway through that programme, or a little bit more than that. We've issued some results. They're all very positive, and we're intersecting widespread gold mineralisation, all of the similar grade that we've got. And we're only looking at this stage at open pit mining, and these consultants have been engaged for on that basis for pit optimization and so on. There is a diagram that goes with this RNS that will enable people just to sort of have a visual idea of what the deposit is. And you can see that it's not only open at both ends, the east and west, it's open at depth, and the grade is probably getting better at depth. So, you know, a million ounces is a short-term target, but by no means do we think it will stop at that stage. This could be a very, very large project.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And so you mentioned you are sort of drilling at the moment, and so are you likely to come up with more results very soon?
Yeah, no, we're drilling at the moment. There will be between now and drilling will complete in sort of mid-September. There's always a bit of a time delay in getting the drilling results out. So between now and October, we'll have regular drilling results. We will then have a full resource estimate carried out by Cube to include all of those drill results on top of what they've already released or announced today. So that will be out in probably October, November time. And then as soon as that is done, they will be able to complete their studies for the preliminary economic assessment, the PEA, which we expect to come out in the first quarter or early part of next year.
Yeah. And look at the price of gold. It's down at the moment, but because of that reason, I'm quite bullish on gold, you know? I think nobody's really watching at the moment, you know? They think it's off the ball a little bit, you know?
Well, I agree with you. We're bullish of gold. Even at these prices don't bother us, because this is all open pit mining we're looking at, which is low cost and low capex. We don't expect to have high mining costs here at all. So at this price, it's attractive. But I agree with you. I think given what's going on in the world, and I think an awful lot of other analysts feel the same way, it's only a matter of time before gold reacts. We've also got another deposit very, very close to this, which is nickel sulfide with copper and cobalt in it, which is also attracting a lot of attention with all the battery work for electric vehicles and so on. And that could have a very significant added value to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Okay, well, Richard, if someone's listening to this right now and likes the sound of what you're doing, but they're not following the story as yet, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay. Firstly, we're very active drilling with lots of news flow coming up, and we're in. Secondly, we're in gold, which I think you just highlighted. We all think is an attractive commodity to be in. We've also got a spread of other assets on the same property, including nickel sulfide and copper cobalt projects, which are again very attractive. And thirdly, we're well funded for all of our operations at the moment, so we feel pretty bullish about it.
Yeah, okay, hit that follow button. Marvellous stuff. Richard, good to chat to you, and hopefully, like I say, lots of stuff coming up, so hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You all right, Al?
Yes, Justin, fine. How are you, mate?
I'm just about to sneeze.
Oh, no. Why? Oh, God. It's hay fever, heat.
I don't know what it is.
Pollen.
I think it's you, Al. I think I'm allergic to you.
Oh, really?
It's your Hawaiian shirt and matching shorts, you know?
Well, there is that. Well, I'm sitting here in my Speedos today, so a bit of a change.
Well, it'll be the last time, I think. They're saying last day of the heat wave is going to gradually grind down to a more normal level, 22 rather than sort of 32, you know? So I don't mind that. I think 22, 23, 24 is dealable, is comfortable. Whereas,
I think in this country, you're right. I think in this country, you're right. We're not really geared up for sustained sort of hot weather in the sort of late 20s, early 30s, are we? But I have to say, I did have a dip in the sea in Seaford at the weekend, and it wasn't much different from actually walking into the Med. We had a very brief long weekend in Spain late August last year, and walking into the Med there was fantastic, as it usually is when you walk into the Mediterranean. And walking to Seaford, the sea at Seaford off the beach, was not that different. Incredible.
I see, yes.
And the sea was clean as well, which is even better.
And I imagine you like, in fact, late Peter Stringfellow in your thong there, your leopard skin thong, walking on the beach there. You know, just taking it all in.
But the thing is, it's a big shingle beach, so you can't really look cool as you walk. You know, that's the thing. You need a sandy beach. That's right. Yeah. So you can get the stroll on. You got to get the shoulders rocking for that. And no, that's not me.
In your G rope. All right. Let's go for the stocks. What are you looking at, Al?
Okay, I'm looking at three stocks today. I want to look at, firstly, Bacanora Lithium, which announced, and the EBIT code for that is BCN, who announced their quarterly statement and review today. And there's just some interesting information I want to pick out here, set against the context of a Goldman Sachs report on lithium. Now, you may recall, obviously, I've spoken about Cadence Minerals in the past, which is a mining investment company, which is invested into a lot of lithium projects around the world. And in fact, their biggest investment is into Bacanora Lithium. Mm-hmm. They own a big chunk of Bacanora Lithium, which operates the Sonora Lithium Project in Mexico. At the start of the year, Morgan Stanley issued a note on lithium, saying that they believed the demand for lithium was over-exaggerated, and that the demand for electric cars wouldn't be as great in the longer term. That was refuted and contradicted last month by Goldman Sachs, who said that?
Who said the demand wouldn't be big?
Well, they said demand would be big, but currently with the amount of lithium mines coming into production, the supply would outstrip demand. So therefore, it would lead to a fall in the price of lithium carbonate, which Cadence hotly refuted at the time, and were right. I mean, clearly, Cadence are a mining investment company invested into these projects, and they've done an awful lot of research, and they see an exponential curve in demand going up with a shortfall predicted for 2021. Last month, Goldman Sachs reported that they believe the sell-off in lithium equities this year is overdone, and investor concerns about lithium for electric car batteries were unfounded. And they believe that demand for lithium is expected to rise fourfold by 2025 due to rising sales of electric cars, which is well documented. We've seen sales of electric cars in Norway up by 40% this year, sales of cars in China, and this is predicted to continue going forward. So back to Bacanora Lithium, which announced a quarterly update today. Bacanora operates a Sonora Lithium mine in Mexico. The mine is projected to generate some 16,000 tons of lithium carbonate per annum, and their operating costs 17,500 tons per annum, and global lithium is currently selling at 16,000 tons or global lithium prices are $16,000 per ton. So against operating costs at Sonora, $4,000 a ton, clearly there's a significant amount of profit to be made. And if that rises in future, which is highly likely to, then it's going to be it'll be an even stronger investment case. Now, Sonora is set for stage one commissioning. That's where the plant commences operation in the second half of 2020. And it requires $460 million for stage one. They've already raised $240 million from the State General Reserve Fund of Oman and Japanese battery manufacturer, their takeoff partner, Hanwha. They also have financing from Red Kite Finance, Mining Finance, RK Finance, to help progressively the commissioning and construction of the mine. They had initially planned a placing, but they decided against it due to the what they cited as global volatility in the global market, and they are speaking with their existing partners to raise the rest of the money. One of the issues is, and I think when we just talk lithium, you think, well, lithium is lithium. It's not. It's about the quality of the lithium that's produced. And this is what Kieran Mazar at Cadence Minerals has been at pains to point out. You've got to have the right quality lithium. And finding those sources of lithium and then getting those mines into supply is a serious issue. And it's a major challenge. And this is where there will be, going forward, a dearth of quality lithium, which will mean the prices for the quality stuff is going to go through the roof. So we've got Sonora here, the Sonora project with Bacanora. Bacanora is currently worth $73 million against potential sales. As I say, if it stays at $16,000 a ton, they've got 17,500 tons per annum they can produce from Sonora. So this potential upside here is pretty significant. Broker Canaccord have a buy rating for Bacanora Lithium with a target of 160 pence. That's against the 55p it's currently trading at. This stock has been as high as 157 on the year and as low as 54p. So we're currently sort of just bumping along the bottom. And I think where Sonora is now, once there's news of the second part of the funding being put into place to complete the stage one commissioning, I would expect the stock to start to move a lot higher.
Yeah, do you know what I'd have thought the other night? Quite rare, but I was in bed and I was thinking, all these governments around the world have put stop dates on the time when cessation of diesel and petrol vehicles would not be allowed to be sold anymore. I thought it was quite a daring move, considering the technology isn't there at the moment anyway to supply the world with battery cars. I thought there's going to be a heck of a lot of pressure on miners to deliver the kind of supply that's needed to keep up the demand. Because once we hit tipping point, it'll be crazy. And it doesn't need a lot. I mean, someone pointed out that once you get to 10, 15, or someone said 20% of battery cars, that's a heck of a move, and you'll start seeing a lot of more money going into it, and a lot more research and development, and it gets better, the quality gets better, and before you know it, within years, you'll be able to drive as far in electric vehicle cars as you will in petrol, diesel. But I just think there's a heck of a lot of supply from everything, from copper to nickel to lithium to cobalt. There's a heck of a lot that needs to be available, decent quality, to supply the world with electric vehicles, isn't it? I don't know how much research governments have done, because they just put these dates like 2040 or 2030. That's it. And it's like 2030. I think Norway and places like that. But that's like what, 12, less than 12 years away now.
Yeah, that's right. It's no time at all. But of course, remember with the manufacturing processes, your average internal combustion engine has got thousands of moving parts. Your electric vehicle, the electric motor, has something like 20, 25 moving parts. So in terms of modular construction, you can put together a production line that basically brings all these disparate parts in and literally puts the whole thing together, and they'll be very quick to put together, very quick to manufacture. And as you said just now, Justin, once the longevity factor is addressed, so you can, on lithium batteries, say drive 1,000 miles or so, then we're there. But it is about the quality of the lithium for the batteries and everything else. There's a really interesting investment proposition here, I think. And I think at the moment, a lot of the lithium stocks are low ball, and clearly Bacanora has a well-advanced project with Sonora. But Cadence Minerals as well has this spread of investments around the world, at all these strategic hubs where they can supply the regional and the local automotive industries. So it's a fascinating area, but it's about the quality of the lithium that comes out of the ground, and those places or the mines that can produce that sort of stuff are few and far between.
Lovely. Okay, what's next, Al?
Okay, article in the FT today. Sirius Minerals, money for a hole in the ground.
Are you a reader of the FT, Al?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You've gone up my estimation now. That's very impressive.
Now, this article has just basically looked at Sirius is a company that's worth nearly 2 billion sterling at the moment. Clearly, they're developing the polyhalite mine in North Yorkshire, in the North York Moors, and they've got across the environmental issues and everything else. There's a deep water port some 37 miles away, so they can ship everything off easily enough. But there are questions in this article about the fact that Sirius needs to raise another 3 billion sterling, and it's also selling polyhalite, which is a mixture of salts, and there's only currently one company actually selling those salts in the world at the moment. It's an Israeli company called ICL. Last year they sold 300,000 tons, and long term that they estimate it's going to the demand is going to be something like 3 million tons per annum. So compared to potash, which is what I'm going to talk about now, that's a fairly small market. I'm using this against the context of a company called Salt Lake Potash, which I've discussed here before. Epicode is SO4. And Salt Lake Potash have 9 lakes in Western Australia, from which they can set up brine plants to extract the SO4 or the actual potash sulfate from the sediments on the lake beds, and these are dry lakes. When it rains, of course, everything gets replenished, which is the great thing about it. So it's you've almost got a perpetual production line there with these lakes. Salt Lake announced last week it wants to build a demonstration project at Lake Way which is one of the lakes. It's going to cost $50 million, be capable of yielding 50,000 tons per product, which will sell for about $660 a ton, and it'll cost Salt Lake $387 a ton to produce that. Now that's a pretty decent profit margin, but If the demonstration plant that they build actually proves the case, then they can go on and they can develop other lakes. And one of the other lakes they have, Lake Wells, they reckon would have operating costs of $185 per ton produced. You know, which again, $660 a ton is a very healthy margin indeed. They reckon with the Lake Way. With Lake Way, that it would generate cash flow at something like $40 million per annum, and that's obviously one of the lakes. Now, I just use this against the context. Firstly, it's potash, for which there's a much bigger market. Secondly, Salt Lake already have an agreement with Mitsubishi, who have agreed to buy the potash at the market rate, and thirdly, the actual production costs compared to say Sirius, which it's reckoned will make. Sirius actually has this on some of its presentation documents. It'll make something like $145 per ton produced of polyhalite, for which there's a much smaller market. So there's when you look at the actual comparisons between the two companies, Sirius are further down the road with the North York operation, but they have a valuation of 1.8 million. Salt Lake currently has a valuation of just 48 million, and yet it owns these 9 lakes, has a takeoff agreement with Mitsubishi, and is the demonstration plant will start to harvest salts in late next year, and is expected to start producing in 2020. So there's a much shorter time frame to actually bring this into production.
SO4, and of course, do you remember what SO4 is, Al?
Well, it's sulfate potash, isn't it? That's what it stands for.
No, but what is it though? SO4. Why have they named it SO4?
That's the chemical code for the
sulfate.
For potash.
Yes, sulfate.
Sulfate of potash. Sulfate of potash. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Lovely. Cool. Anything else to look at, Al?
Yes, a contrarian play, given that everyone's talking about the London property market crashing and burning. But I think it's always useful to look at a stock that could potentially go the other way. Now, this is a company called Great Portland Estates. Of course, Great Portland Estates are a long-established FTSE 250 company, worth currently $2 billion. It's got just under $3 billion of real estate in central London. And the team that operate the company, Toby Courtauld, the CEO, and the team under him, are purely focused on property in central London. That's commercial and residential property, and they have a very, very strong track record of doing this. Last month they announced published a trading update. The group have three new schemes which are under development. They're already 11% pre-let, and the company said that the last 5 years of net sales activity has given the group what they call unprecedented financial capacity, and that's after they return some $400 million to shareholders. So they're going forward, they're very well placed. They have great visibility in terms of their offering going forward, and certainly from a charting standpoint, this is a company that's well worth a look. I think I had this chart up just now. I'm just going to bring this back up, but this was a company that was actually picked out last week by Vectorvest, basically on the charting movement and also the different metric valuations that Vectorvest platform offers. Relative value, everything is scored on a scale of 0 to 2. The Great Portland logs today at a relative value of 1.5, the company has an earnings growth rate of 32%. The note was published at £7.11 when the stock was trading at £7.11. It's since been as high as £7.20. But Vectorvest have a valuation for the stock of just over £10. So there's still quite some way to go there. And this is a company that knows what it's doing. It's got a great track record. It pays a dividend of 1.7% too. So there's if you're interested in a contrarian investment into the London property market, I think Vectorvest have picked out a nice opportunity here, and a company with a great track record, and of course one that pays a dividend too.
Yes, do you know what the £6 was the level, wasn't it? Really, £7 led to, because that was where it's bumping along there. I tell you what you should look at, if you look at properties in Countrywide, wow, they've taken a hammer in, haven't they?
Well, they have, but if you look at the chart of, if you look at the Great Portland chart, I mean, that's just this top right corner stuff all the way. As you say, around £6 would have been a great time to get in. But, the company is still, it's growing its assets, it's got a lot of cash at the bank, and the team have been a long established there, but also because they know the market inside out, the company actually says on its website that it's better placed than any of its competitors to unearth opportunities that others might miss. So that's important. When you're looking at, you can look at a market that might seem depressed, but if you've got people who know how to operate, know what they're doing, then actually it makes a great contrarian investment, because you're in a sense going against the grain, but the people that are there and understand the market are able to grab a bigger market share because other people are ignoring it, if you get my drift.
Yeah, I'm looking at Countrywide has bombed out. I'm going to sit and wait on that, because I think it'll have a comeback. They got a bit of debt, but they did a fundraising, which will clear a lot of that debt recently. Yep. So, but they look at the chart of Countrywide, right? I mean, they need to change a lot of stuff there, but they've gone. Let's look at this. So, they were at £4 a share in 2014. Mm-hmm. They're now 16 pence a share. And it's going to take them a while, and I will not look at it until they get over that 200-day moving average, which at the moment is 53 pence. That'll be coming down, though. So it's worth looking at. I mean, you've got to look at the assets, though, and all that stuff first, because otherwise... balance sheet and all that stuff, because you've got to check out... Because they'd have to raise money because of debt levels and all that stuff. But they've got revenue there, and I'd assume now they're going to do an overhaul of the business, because they've been in big trouble recently. So CWD. Mm. But not one jump in yet. They've got to repair the business and sort it out, because at the moment they're in trouble. But could be one of those recovery plays that'll take, do well for a couple of years. Could do, especially the property market rebound in the next couple of years or so.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. But I think you know, if you're looking for one to invest in right now, not necessarily as a recovery play, but one that's going to keep on growing, I think you know, Great Portland is a company that's well worth a look. I mean, they've got a great track record. You know, if you look back, sort of okay, I mean the shares were up as high as sort of £9 back in August 2015, but it's really bottomed out during 2017. It's just gradually and steadily sort of making its way back without any sort of dips and bumps in between.
Yeah, but you know what? It was the time they got over that 200-day moving average. That would be a good one for G. That was literally, they got 629, yep. And then came back, retested it, and then that was the time to get in there, really. But a retest of the 200-day moving average. But, yeah, well, a nice trend there. The now trend is your friend. They look to be going in a nice trend there. But there we are. GPOR, Great Portland in the States. And anything else, Al?
No, that's it. That's it for me today, Jess. That's your love, friend. Yeah.
Back out to sunbathing in the garden, getting a tan there. What's that guy from Chippers Chips? What's his name? What's that guy?
Oh God.
Dickinson. David Dickinson would be you know, envious of your tan, Al. I think so.
Well, I suppose I'm not heading towards Donald Trump colouring yet, thankfully. But
he's a ridiculous man, Donald Trump, from head to toe, isn't he? I mean,
he
looks like he goes on sunbeds because he's got white rings around his eyes.
Well, he's been tangoed, yeah. Yeah, he does, you're right. He does look like he goes on sunbeds.
Who goes on sunbeds these days? That's a dying industry right there, isn't it?
That's a rather unfortunate turn of phrase there, Just, but it is, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, you're inviting skin cancer and all sorts of stuff there, aren't you?
Cool. Anyway, we've got off pieces of it. Marvellous stuff. And thanks for that, and I'll speak to you next week, fella.
Thanks, Just. Speak next week. Cheers, mate.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Africin Mining, ATM. At four, Imaginetic. Did a big rise yesterday, and that's off of another big rise. But about 50% yesterday, and it did about 78% two Fridays ago. I do hold stock in that. I have sort of de-risked, but news incoming as regards Vin Maria, who's the queen of tech, as she's known. IMTK is the ticker there. Koovs, it's K-O-O-V. It's a lot of people trading this. Check it out. Don't get on the wrong side of the trade. At two, Ascent Resources, AST. Big fall yesterday, and it's falling today. Maybe people trying to jump in, they get a bargain maybe. AST ticker. Of course, do your own research. Don't follow the crowd. Do your own research. And number one, most followed company, is Predator Oil and Gas, PRD. I wrote a blog about them on the weekend. Had Paul Griffiths, the CEO, on the podcast last Friday. Very interesting company. Check it out. Okay, top five most liked RNS is released today at 7 a.m. or maybe a bit later, who knows. At five, Iron Ridge Resources, Exploration Update, Ghana Lithium Portfolio. At four, Director Participation in £66,000 placing. Hang on, what company is that? Doesn't show the ticker there, but bear with me 1 second. I'll be with you, some of you know this. Well, that's Metal Tiger, MTR. For some reason, it never comes up in the title, the RNSs. At three, Prospects Oil and Gas, Director PDMR Shareholding. At two, Zananga Iron Ore, Pellet Test Announcement. Oh, sounds exciting. Number one, Asian Met Resources, Drilling Extends Butong Copper Mineralization. That's an extension drilling, of course. That's ARS. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.